broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will get to your calls live on today's broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, the promise, I will get to your calls. Yesterday, we talked about the funding needed for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and didn't get to any calls. Today, we will get to some calls. But a little story here quickly. After I did the broadcast last night, I did a Bible Answer Man Facebook live broadcast with my daughter, Christina. And that broadcast went on, the Facebook live broadcast, for about an hour and a half. And I was sitting there thinking about the fact that I'm doing a broadcast with my daughter. And it reminded me, well, I should say probably most correctly, it reminded my wife of Cindy Martin Morgan, one of the daughters of Walter Martin, who was the founder of this organization. And as we got home, we began talking about the legacy that Walter Martin had left. He has been coronated. He has received many crowns, but his work continues on. He has laid up for himself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. 28 years ago yesterday, June 26th, Walter Martin went home to be with the Lord. And I thought it would be only appropriate to have his dear daughter on the broadcast today. Someone who, by the way, is carrying on his legacy in so many different ways. She's been one of the staunchest supporters of the pro-life movement through her talent, through her tenacity, through her commitment. She is a true daughter of Walter Martin. The characteristics I saw in Walter Martin that attracted me to him are the characteristics that I see in Cindy Martin Morgan, and I am delighted to welcome her to this segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Hank. Nice to be with you.
It is wonderful to have you on the broadcast, and again, I think you hear from the prologue to this broadcast, what your dad meant in founding a ministry in 1960. He had a vision. He had a vision of technology and the use of technology, and it's absolutely incredible to see today how his vision has become a reality.
It really is. And he was not a computer kind of guy. He never really had those skills or abilities, but he sought out those who did, and he informed himself because he had that vision to incorporate it into what would be the tools that he would need to spread the gospel using CRI all over the world, which was his goal.
My daughter said on the broadcast yesterday that she was so proud of me as her father. I can imagine how proud you are to this day of the legacy of yours.
Yes, I am very proud of him. In fact, one of the last times that I had with him, he had taken us over to that big building that he had gotten for CRI. It was in California. I can't remember the town. It might have been Irvine, but he was showing us through this building that they were beginning to set up for CRI over there, and he was just remarking to me, Cindy, this was my dream. This is my dream, and God has blessed it, and I'm just so excited and so thankful to see all that he is doing through me, you know, not taking the glory for himself, but just recognizing the hand of God on his life and recognizing that all of this was being raised up through the mighty hand of God, who he loves so much, and his Father, and he just was so excited, and to experience that joy with him was something that I will never forget.
Here we are 28 years later, and there have been so many people that have joined with us as support team members. As we said on yesterday's broadcast, they are, as it were, our special forces, our Green Berets. Without them, no one would be hearing our broadcasts or our podcasts or receiving the Christian Research Journal. Talk about how important it is for people to honor your dad's legacy and the legacy of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute now for 57 years by supporting the ministry prayerfully and financially.
Well, I feel that my dad's calling, of course, was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he did that with all his heart and soul and mind. He wanted to follow the admonition of 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I think it was really his vision to get the gospel in the hands of those who needed it, and to get answers in the hands of those who had not been able to find their way, that were in the darkness. And I think that we all have to support and do what God puts on our hearts where the gospel is concerned. That's really critical that we do that, and we rely on the Lord's direction in our churches and in our lives, and however God guides us and directs us, that the gospel, there's nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing important, more important than the souls of men that are lost. And we are to be light, and we are to be salt, and we are the gospel should always be on our lips. It shouldn't be an afterthought.
You have had such an instrumental role, not only through prose, but also through the lyrics that you have written with respect to the pro-life movement. This is a passion for you, and this needs to remain a passion for Christians. Some Christians suffer from what has often been described as fetist fatigue. In other words, we've heard the warnings against abortion. We've heard that abortion is taking the life of an innocent human being, but it's been said so many times in so many different ways, we often become anesthetized mm-hmm. to one of the greatest, if not the greatest, holocausts that one could possibly imagine in human history.
Yes, that's what we are facing, and we do get kind of dulled. I think our senses get kind of dulled because you're just always up against the issue, and it's like we get human fatigue, you know, where we just put it on the back burner. I think that happens to all of us in every area. This area in particular is one that is quite serious, though, where we always have to remember that there are people that are depending on us being a voice for them and speaking when they can't speak, speaking up for them when they can't speak up for themselves. Their very lives do hang in the balance. And I think that it's refreshing. It's filling yourself with the Word of God daily, like you do as a Christian. And it's coming before the Lord, and it's just asking Him to give you remembrance of what's the most pressing and important thing that He wants you to do that day. And in doing those things that He puts your heart and your hand to, it's also in remembering that there are constants out there, like the unborn, where God constantly wants us to be praying for their good, to be seeking their good, to be speaking up and helping others to realize that these are people that deserve life just as much as you and I do, that God is the giver and the taker of innocent life, not us. And I think that we just have to just keep renewing our minds, I think is what it comes down to. And, you know, we don't fortunately all get fatigued at the same time. And I think that when we notice each other is getting kind of you know, away from an issue that maybe is really, really critical like this one, that we can nudge one another and we can encourage one another and we can build and lift one another up in this area so that it spurs, we can spur each other on to those good works for the unborn little by little and help each other along the way to make a difference for time and for all eternity. So,
talking to Cindy Martin Morgan, she is the daughter of Walter Martin, who is the founder, of course, of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, had a vision for this ministry, a discernment ministry. He was oftentimes referred to as the father of the countercult movement, and the impact that he made while he was alive was monumental. That impact continues on today. Cindy, if you were someone that was passing Walter's car while he was driving in the streets of Southern California, you would have seen a license plate that said Jude 3. That verse, of course, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That was his life verse. He displayed it everywhere, even, as I said, on his license plate, but that's the verse he lived by.
It is. It is the verse he lived by. And, you know, my dad was such a mentor for me. We often took walks together, and he would talk to me about what God was doing in his life, and he'd be so excited about it. And that just really rubbed off on me because it made God real. It made God real to me in every step that I took. And I will be forever, you know, grateful to my dad for bringing the Lord into my presence, in a sense, you know, just making God seem as real as he really is. And one thing he said to me when we would take walks, he would remind me, look, you need to keep a journal. And you need to keep track of God, he'd say. Write down what your prayer requests are to the Lord, and then remember to come back in and fill in those answers. And he said, and when you get discouraged, you take out that book, and you remind yourself of the goodness of God. Read through what you asked him, and read through what he told you, and be refreshed, and remember that he's with you. And I'll tell you, that has really stayed with me my whole life. Just that idea of, yes, God loves me. God cares about every detail of my life. God is with me. And to keep track of God in such a way that I never forget of his goodness to me.
This is the, as I mentioned at the outset, this is the 28th year that we remember your dad's coronation. We know that he is in the presence of God. Anything that you can add to the discussion as we think about your dad, his legacy, and how his legacy might be an encouragement for us to order our life around the divine, to work not for the city of man, but as it were, for the city of God.
Well, I would encourage people. A hymn comes to mind when you were talking, and that I love hymns, and my father did too. And the hymn, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I'm trying to remember the name of that hymn, but those words were going through my mind as you were speaking, and I just think that we all need to cry out to God to give us a vision, you know, give us a vision of what he wants, not a real vision, but you know what I mean, give us that heartfelt purpose and show us what our calling is, show us what our gifts are so that we can use them the most for his glory. And I think that that's what was so interesting about my dad, because not everybody seems as driven as that. I haven't known that many people like him, quite frankly. He was so driven, but he knew what his purpose was. He knew what God had put in his hands to do. And he knew he could do nothing else. And he was driven to serve the Lord with all of his heart and to raise up a ministry that God had put on his heart to reach those around him for his kingdom that needed answers to the questions that they weren't necessarily finding in churches. A lot of the times with the cults and Mormonism was a really big issue during his lifetime. And he just really wanted to give, he wanted to kind of pull the lid off of these cults and help the church to understand, no, this is not the same Jesus we're talking about. They may have all the same terms, but we're not talking about the same Jesus. And it was really important to my dad to help people to understand the true Jesus, the true gospel.
Cindy Martin Morgan, thank you so much for joining us for this portion of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, remembering your dad, his legacy. And I can tell you, just as you are proud of your dad, I am quite certain that he is proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Hank, for those kind words. God bless you, dear brother.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for spending this time with our audience right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As promised, I am going to go to your calls live on the broadcast. When we come back from the break, the number to dial, love to talk to you, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
We are seeing the advent of post-truth culture with ferocious social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility. We as Western Christians are in a fight for our lives. This is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere a very timely book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore. This remarkable book will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks much, Randy, and we will go to your calls in just a moment. 888-ASK-HANK. Dr. Larry Johnston was in studio yesterday. He's our Chief Advancement Officer, and he talked about four things that I think need to be repeated on today's show as we're closing out our fiscal year. It ends Friday, so we just have a few days in closing out our fiscal year, and we have a lot of territory to cover from a financial standpoint. But he talked about support team members, how they are the special forces, the Green Berets, and without them, hearing our podcasts or broadcasts or even receiving the Christian Research Journal would be impossible. And then he talked about a second category, those who are donors to the ministry. And he appealed, and I think rightly so, to those who are occasional donors by first saying thank you for being part of the team and then encouraging them to become support team members. When you become a support team member, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. And then he talked about one-time donors. In other words, if you've only made one gift to the Christian Research Institute, or perhaps you only make a gift a year, maybe I shouldn't use the word only. I mean, it's significant. We're grateful for your support, the fact that you would invest in this ministry. But Larry's encouragement was to do it again. Because if everyone that made a one-time gift or one gift a year gave two gifts a year, it would translate into literally hundreds of thousands of dollars that could go into effective ministry work. And then finally, he had a category for onlookers or on listeners. And that category is those who've never made a gift to the Christian Research Institute. I was talking to one of those people, came to my office. He was a very successful banker. And he came to my office and he started talking about how significant this ministry had been in his life. And after going on for a while, and it was very, very encouraging from a personal standpoint to hear what he had to say, I felt led to ask him a question. Since CRI has impacted your life in this way, why have you never supported the ministry? I was curious. And he said, Hank, when I listen to the broadcast, when I look at the quality of your journal, I had this idea in my mind that you must be supported by some big foundation, that the Christian Research Institute didn't need resources. Of course, I told him that nothing could be farther from the truth. We're completely dependent on people standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And quite frankly, we would want it no other way. Partnership means something. Because when people partner financially, they pray as well. And I think as Larry said yesterday, I don't know if I can quote him exactly, but prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. It's pretty beautiful. All I said was prayer is firing the winning shot. But I mean, both communicating the same thing, the importance of prayer. So when your gift goes somewhere and you pray for an organization, it makes all the difference in the world. So again, if you are an onlooker, if you've enjoyed the ministry, if for some reason or other you've never pulled the trigger in support of the ministry, June is the month to do that. If you can join CRI's monthly support team, be deeply appreciated. And do remember, we make resources available to those who support the ministry for a reason. Our goal is to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Let's go to our callers. First up is William. He is listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada on CJCA. Hi, William.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great, William.
Great. I have a question for you, Hank. I enjoy watching mixed martial arts. I find it very compelling, but I sometimes wonder if a Christian should be watching it. What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I don't know that I have a really well thought out opinion on that. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Michael Vick was convicted for dogfighting. He lost his position as quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. And when I see some of this, and I've watched some of it, mixed martial arts, the brutality of it is almost inconceivable to me. And I sometimes wonder whether this is something that we should promote in some way, particularly when the people in the cage, so to speak, are those stamped with the imago Dei, with the image and likeness of God. Now, I do see it as an art, as a craft, and so I don't want to be dogmatic in what I say, but my first inclination is the inclination I just gave you. I think this is one of those issues that you have to consider prayerfully before the Lord. But in the whole, the verse that came to mind for me is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, "Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So what am I saying by quoting that verse? I guess in many ways, particularly as I have found myself in a state of cancer, having mantle cell lymphoma, I think about ordering my life around the divine, and before my feet ever hit the ground in the morning, I'm thinking about those things that I can do that are true or noble or right or pure or lovely. So what am I going to spend my time on? Is it going to be on television games, or is it going to be in pursuing those things that have lasting value? Again, there's got to be balance in life, I have to confess. I saw Jordan Spieth hole his bunker shot on the 18th hole on Sunday, and it was exhilarating for me to watch as a golfer. So again, I'm not trying to be dogmatic here, but that would be my inclination in terms of an answer.
Great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to also do something we have not done in a while, which is take a Facebook question. We're doing a lot of Facebook these days. Again, you can call in your live questions, and I'll try to get to those as well. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But here's a question I've wanted to answer for some time. I think it was called in on Monday, or came in through Facebook on Monday. It's by Andy, and he writes, in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Do not be amazed at this." By the way, this verse is one of my favorite verses. I quote it so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. "A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some who are in the grace will hear his voice and come out. But not some, all. Those who have done good will rise to live, but those who have done evil will come out as well. but they will rise to be condemned. Of course, Andy's talking about John 5, 28 and 29. He goes on to write, the Bible says that there is none that does good, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So who is it that does good? It's actually a pretty interesting question. Those who rise to live are those who have become participants in the kingdom and have received a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of their own that comes by law, but that which is through faith in Christ. In other words, they are raised as participants in the kingdom by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So they are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ as opposed to merely being clothed in the filthy robes of their own self-righteousness. So it is true, as Paul says, there's none that does good. Paul could say that. He said, what a wretched man I am. I mean, he saw himself in the context of the righteousness, the holiness, and the glorious of God. The closer you get to the glorious nature of God, the more you see your own imperfections and the more you can say there is none that does good because we all fail in thought, word, and deed. And so those who come out of the graves when they hear his voice and they rise to live are participants in the kingdom. And of course, the port of salvation is not the end for them. Those who are saved go on. The shipwrecked must go on to union with God, which is the end of humanity. The end of humanity is to be godized, as it were, to recognize that by grace we can be partakers of the divine nature, and in that we find our all. So when you're looking at verses like this, I think rather than collating them together, first thing you want to do is you want to look at context. Context, context, context. And in looking at context, you are not only looking at immediate context, but the overall context of Scripture. So what does Paul say in the overall context of Scripture? Because he does not only write Romans, he's also writing 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you not only can, but you must build. You're either going to build using straw, the kinds of materials that don't last, or gold, silver, costly stone. So it's either going to be stubble or costly stones. And the day of the Lord will reveal what you built with. So while we're here, and Cindy Martin Morgan was saying this in the first segment of the broadcast, we have to labor for that which lasts for all eternity as opposed to laboring for that which perishes. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
We are witnessing the advent of post-truth culture, and it's changing the West for the worst. What's needed now in shifting times, says Russell Moore, is neither a doubling down on the status quo nor a pullback into isolation. Instead, we need a church that speaks to social and political issues with a bigger vision in mind, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moore's book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, will equip you to refocus and make a difference for time and for eternity. To receive your copy of Onward as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we rejoin the broadcast with the quote of the day. And it appropriately comes from Dr. Walter Martin. He went home to be with the Lord 28 years ago, yesterday, June 26th. And as I said earlier on in this broadcast, we remember him, we honor him. His legacy continues to live on, not only through the lives of his family members, but also through this ministry. And one of the things that I never forgot that Walter would say over and over again is the quote of the day. Controversy, said Walter Martin, for the sake of controversy is sin. Controversy for the sake of truth, however, is a divine command. If you stand for truth, no matter what the cost, there will be controversy. But yet we ought to accept that controversy, not for the sake of controversy, but for the sake of truth. I was doing the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live session with my daughter Christina yesterday. And while I was doing that, we were thinking about the many stands that I have taken at the Christian Research Institute. I did not take those stands for platform or popularity. I took those stands because truth really matters. Why would I write a book titled The Austenification of American Christianity? Is this a grudge with respect to a person? Absolutely not. I can't judge the person. He may be very well intentioned. But despite that fact, ideas have consequences. So when you tell people that their thoughts, their words create their reality, it may sound good at first blush, but ultimately it is poisonous. It is a form of New Thought metaphysics packaged for Christian consumption, and it has a very dark underbelly, particularly when you think that your thoughts caused your sickness. Or you suggest that the thoughts a person had or the words that they spoke were words of fear rather than words of faith, and as a result of that, their baby died. Talk about heaping guilt upon sorrow. So I simply coined a word called the austenification of American Christianity, because Osteen today is the biggest of the Word of Faith teachers, to communicate that there are many, many people with big smiles on their faces when you see the television pictures, when the program rolls on, you see people holding their Bibles up in the air, you see well-manicured people and a very engaging speaker. Here's what you don't see. You don't see the people that are falling out the back doors of those conventions or services that no longer know what to believe or how to think about things. They are disillusioned. It doesn't mean they don't still have spiritual hunger, but they're disillusioned. They've never been told that Christ is not a means to their ends. Christ is something far better than that. Christ is the end. Why do so many athletes, people making, I was looking at some of the contracts the other day, $25 million a year, or $200 million contract over 4 or 5 years. Why is it that many of those athletes, and I'm not picking on athletes, but this is just a classic example, are still unsatisfied? Why is it that a host of consuming appetites rush in to fill a vacuum yet unfilled, a vacuum that only Christ can fill? So we've taken stands. Those stands have been costly. I can testify to that. And I've taken many of them. But we've never done it for any reason other than truth matters. I still remember taking the stand for the progeny of Watchman Nee, who died in a communist prison camp in 1972. We thought they were cultic. Dare I say heretical. We were the fountainhead of misinformation in the mid-70s on this group. And the consequences were embarrassing in the West, deadly in the East. One man imprisoned when his daughter was one, released from prison when she was 17. He was on death row for most of the time in that prison. Many like him died. This is a graphic example of how ideas have consequences. A stark example. And I'll never forget Gretchen Pasentino, one of the researchers who had written some of the information that had become the fountainhead of misinformation, had traveled from the West to the East and had become the cause of this man's imprisonment. I had assigned her as one of the two primary researchers to relook, re-examine the situation of Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, and what is called the recovery. She had every reason to validate her original writings. It's human nature, as did Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of our Christian Research Journal. And yet, they believed that truth was paramount. And thus, when they found the truth, doing primary research, there was a day in which Gretchen Pasentino kneeled in front of the man who had seen his daughter when she was born, and not again until she was 17, and asked for his forgiveness. And rather than simply saying, "I forgive you," which of course he did, he said, "This was God's economy in my life. God placed me in that prison for a purpose." My point is that Gretchen and Elliot did what they did because truth matters. And we did not sweep this under the rug in big letters, emblazoned on our flagship magazine. We said we were wrong. Again, ideas have consequences. When I took that stand, it was one of the most costly stands. It almost brought the Christian Research Institute to its knees. We knew ahead of time what the headwinds would be, and yet we took the stand. I remember being huddled with some of our staff saying, "These will be the consequences. We may not survive." And yet everyone that had been with me for so many years said, "Truth matters." Well, in the process, God opened a huge door for me to life. And had I not taken that stand, I don't know where I would be today with mantle cell lymphoma. Because it was their example of life that had animated my pursuit of what is theologically known as theosis, union with God. And as we like to say at the Christian Research Institute, it's not the map, it's the territory. The map is important. If you got the wrong map, you don't get to the right territory. It's not the menu, it's the meal. The menu is of critical importance. It really, really matters. That's why I have memorized and meditated and mined the scriptures for all they're worth. But the map leads to the territory, and the menu leads to the meal. And as we've added to the repertoire recently, we must never mistake the cradle for its occupant. For Christ is the end, not a means to our ends, but he is the end. And we do not come to the master's table because of what is on the master's table, but we come to the master's table for the master. And when we recognize that, everything else in our life takes its proper order. Again, Walter Martin said, controversy for the sake of controversy is sin. Controversy for the sake of truth is a divine command. And all of that, I suppose, spurred me on in this segment of the broadcast to talk about the significance of that statement in my life, and I know in the lives of many others. So we honor the legacy of Walter Martin today as we remember 28 years ago his coronation as he went home to be with the Lord. And today we ask people to continue to stand with this ministry because truth and life matter. If you don't have truth, you're missing the very definition of Christ. Christ is the way and the truth. But Christ is also the way and the life. And when we experience our all in him, we are finally satisfied. Some of the books that lay all of this out in terms of living in a post-Christian nation, The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher, available for those who support the ministry all this month, and Onward by Russell Moore, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. Two fantastic resources. You need them in your library. Whether you read all of them or not is up to you, but I will tell you something. These are books that are worth tackling. They're available to help you with your discernment skills, and they're available for those who support the ministry all this month. Please stand with us faithfully in the battle for life and truth. Please give generously. You can do that at equip.org. We'll be back with answers to your questions on tomorrow's broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure he has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher, are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
www.thebookofrevelation.org.